Again, today is September 4th. It's a Friday, and we're going to start here in the Revelation of John. So let's warm up a little bit. Regarding these things which John wrote is applicable to the things which you're experiencing today. So in Revelation chapter 1, okay, we read here in Revelation 1:3, the time is at hand. Okay, and we're going to expound on that a little bit, because he also mentions this at the conclusion of this letter, regarding the time is at hand. But let's start right here in verse 6. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So you can hide the word kings and priests here. Okay, now when he says here, and is made, and is by this covenant, because he says here in verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we see here when he says the word blood, he's speaking concerning the covenant, by his covenant, by this covenant. Not by that which is favorable to our own signature, but that which is favorable to God. Sinners approach God in that which favors himself, and that's substitutionism. But the righteous approach God in according to that which favors himself, that which favors God, and that's his propitiation. Now he's going to give gifts here, as we see in chapter 22. He's going to give gifts. That's going to his propitiation. In substitutionism, we're not qualified to give gifts to ourselves. Okay, what gifts we provide for ourselves will never match that which God is in regarding himself, because he is light. So we need the gifts of the light of his propitiation, and not the gifts of the darkness of substitutionism. Substitutionism is the very foundation of the spirit of Antichrist. It's approaching God on the terms of themselves, on their own terms. Just like Satan, in the very beginning, as Jesus says, he transgressed from the very beginning. And since the very beginning, Satan challenged God on his own grounds. That is, Satan wanted to approach God, for God to change his mind about this great plan. Satan was viewing God regarding that which was taking place and unfolding in the seventh heaven. Okay, on the second day, God created the angels. Okay, and in that period of time of the second day, okay, God unfolded to the angels this plan, which he was going to initiate, as he was going to allow them to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth on the second day, as he's going to allow them to observe these things. Okay, which the watchers, the fallen watchers, they understood what the oath of God was. Okay, by the oath of God, the heavens were created. And by the oath of God, see, the earth was created. And by the oath of God, everything was established within this dimension. So the angels were present at that time, okay, witnessing the supreme power of God. After witnessing the supreme power of God, God then addressed them regarding the next stages of his plan, okay, that they would be involved with this, but they would not be those which would enter into the eternal inheritance as the baptism of light. And this is what the Apostle Paul brings out as concerning their ministering spirits. The ministering spirits sent forth, of course, from God, to minister unto them, which is us, which be heirs of salvation. We would be those which would benefit this engrafting, the engrafting which would make us equal with God, taking on the divine nature. So here we see in verse 6, and has made us kings and priests. I mean, in other words, through this covenant, he's going to birth the royal seed. And by this covenant, he's also going to give us a new priesthood, a holy priesthood. And this is what Peter talks about as being a holy priesthood. So he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Now, we know that the book of Revelation was written before the other epistles were, because the other epistles were making references to these things. And we can see that the Apostle Paul was reflecting upon that which the Apostle John received here. And we can see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're going to turn, so we can put a marker here in Revelation, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, okay, and let's look at why Paul said these things. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says here, now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us. In other words, they were taking this knowledge for the purpose of ruling in the aspiration, whereas we're taking the knowledge, okay, and humbling ourselves to the revelation. Okay, we see in the false religious system today that they're taking the knowledge of God to rule in the aspiration, but we're humbling ourselves to the revelation of God for the purpose of building his house. So here, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, he says here, now you're full, he's telling the Corinthians. Now you are rich. Now you have reigned as kings without us, as Greek heroes. And I would to God that you did reign. In other words, what he is saying right here, they're not reigning in reality, but they're trying to reign as kings in their imagination. Satan, again, is whispering in their ears, as he did to Adam, concerning the divine promise. Yeah, to know good and evil. Yeah, that you can be as gods, to knowing good and evil. So you can ascend, what Satan was promising, is that you can ascend to the pinnacle of your imagination by my counsel. And here Satan, again, the spirit of Antichrist, was whispering in the church those same promises of pretense. Satan had no power in order to fulfill these things, but he was making promises. The promise he was making was not his promises to make. We can see it in a false religious system. The false religious system is inflaming the concept of revival by promise of healing and miracles. Okay, that God would do this and God would do that. That's the spirit of Antichrist. They want to reign as kings. They want to ascend. They want to get into position, okay, of fulfilling something that they can't do. So Satan made that promise 6,000 years ago, and he's still whispering in the ears of the protesters what they want to hear. So now you're full. Now you're rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God that you did reign, that we are at the position of the ninth week, that we also might reign with you in the ninth week in the open sign of the millennial reign of Christ. But then Paul goes on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. See, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last as though it pointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, angels and the men. So the Apostle Paul is saying right here, I perceive, see, for I think or I perceive that our position as stewards in these end times, okay, as to remove this, to remove this aspiration. Okay, the aspiration of the believers that want to claim the divinic covenant, which is to rule by the sword. But Jesus told Peter to put up his sword. But yet we see those in a false religious system want to take the sword of this knowledge and oppress. They want to rule by it. And they want anybody standing in their way. So here the Apostle Paul says, God assigned us for this time in order to control this aspiration by giving you a covenant of his propitiation. We rule through the gifts, but we must be humble through God. We rule over sin by these gifts. But these things are not provided for us for the purpose of ruling in the aspiration. But we are not in the millennial reign of Christ yet. And we will never rule by the aspiration, even in the millennium. Okay, we will rule according to the covenant which God will provide for us. Okay, but not by our aspiration. So he says, I think that God has sent forth us the apostles last. Okay, in this particular time, the Apostle Paul says last in these end times for the purpose of guarding this plan, okay, that is to remove the aspiration. Okay, those which want to believe by the aspiration and the divinic covenant. Okay, for we are made a spectacle, because for now we suffer. For now we suffer such a boasting as some claim that we promote. But the angels only confirm this new covenant, okay, and not the man's traditions. Man's traditions stands within those things of the divinic covenant, that which Moses gave. Okay, the record of Moses, okay, is to challenge the state of the conscience and to bring, or to, you could say, put pressure on the thinking of man by through that guilt. They cannot achieve these things through the imagination, but we will enter an inheritance by submission. Okay, the humble. Okay, so God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. so are made a spectacle unto the world, the angels and the men. Paul is saying these things in order to shame the imagination, okay, which they're pursuing. For we are fools for Christ's sake. Okay, then it means, but we are viewed now as weak to the carnal eye, because we lack the recognition of our own boast. Now you can see the recognition of boasting through the religious or so-called Christian media. They boast of many things. And through their boasting, they're attracting those of like aspirations. Okay, like during the 70s, okay, the boasting of Kenneth Copeland, okay, or Hagen, when he would quote Mark 11, 23 and 24, "You can have what you say." That was a false light, okay, a false light, like a light bulb attracting moths at night. Okay. When you turn on your light at night, you notice that it attracts a lot of bugs. It attracts a lot of insects. Now, we can see that bats and lizards are also attracted to that which is attracting the insects. And they come there and they feast upon the bugs that are flying around the light bulb. Okay, the bats and the lizards, okay, they feast upon all these insects that are attracted to this artificial light. Okay, Satan is an artificial light. And he's attracting those of like aspiration. Okay, and those of the aspiration are being consumed by the kingdom of darkness, as the bats and the lizards, the unclean animals. Okay, the false ministers are dining on them and plundering them because they're attracted to the false light. But we are attracted to the true light, Jesus Christ. Okay, in him is no darkness at all. Okay, we cannot find an aspiration in him to feast the imagination of our aspiration. Okay, but we find in him the face of God. We find in him humbleness of mind. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, as Jesus said. Of course, Jesus saying these things, he also says, "I'm meek and lowly in heart." Okay, now Jesus, being God manifest in the flesh, was not riding on the horse of his boast, okay, as some kind of a Greek hero, like Alexander the Great. Okay, riding up and down, okay, the ranks of his troops, okay, and shouting for the victory. And this is what the false religious system wants. Okay, they want a stewardship on a white horse that's riding up and down their ranks in order for them to enter into the boast, okay, of the shouting of the great victory. Okay, but that's not going to happen. And this is what the Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthians. Okay, my presence here in this gospel which I'm preaching is not for the purpose of the boast of man or the honor of man, okay, nor as being a Greek hero, okay, or some kind of Greek giant. So he says here in verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake. That means we are viewed as weak to the carnal eye of the world. Okay, they're looking for the boasting. And they think that the boasting of the things of the flesh, or using the text there, okay, is what God is looking for. Okay, but he that glories, let him glory in the Lord, as Paul brings out. Okay, our glorying is in that which is submission to him.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.